Okay, hallelujah. I gotta get used to looking straight at the camera. I always tend to look to the side. So again, we're looking at we're doing the 3-year study in Torah. We're probably going to spend a whole year just in Genesis because the amount of information and detail and foundational teachings that are in this book. So as I was praying, you know, we were going to go into chapter 3, but the Ruach put on my heart, no, I want you to teach about the importance of the seed. So we're going to look at what the Ruach HaKodesh has to say about the seed in Genesis. So it's again in Hebrew, it's ha-zera, seed. The importance of Breshit. All of God's will, purpose, essence, design, eschatology, and teaching is found in the first 4 chapters of Breshit or Genesis. Abba Father prepared everything from the beginning by design. What he is about to do with creation, he will also do with man and then with the nation of Israel. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, King Father, we thank you for your holy word going forth today. Father, we thank you that you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive. Father, we thank you the enemy is hindered and bound from keeping anybody from joining in today in the name of Yeshua. Father, I thank you that where 2 or more are gathered in your name, you are there in our midst. And I thank you, Father, that we are gathered together in your name, in Yeshua's name. So here Yeshayahu or Isaiah 46:10 says, declaring out of the beginning, in other words, from the very beginning, Breshit, the end, and out of ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Again, the Torah is very prophetic, and especially again, Genesis lays the foundation for everything that the Father is going to do going forward, again, to bringing Messiah into the world as Redeemer through Judah. So why and what? What is the beginning and why is it imperative to understand? Why did Elohim create us? Again, these are answers we are going to get as we study through the word, as we study and get understanding of the meaning of the Hebrew words and how they're used. And again, the beginnings. Why did Elohim create us? What is our purpose? What is the significance of the seed and the kind, the pattern of light and darkness and night and day, the significance of water, the origin of physical and spiritual, the relevance of the sun and the moon, signs and seasons, the calling of creation as good, man in Elohim's image, man from the dust of the earth, Elohim's first command to humans, the seventh day, which we're going to look at next week, because the Ruach put on my heart, we need to go into more detail on that. The pivotal significance of the Garden of Eden, the nature and function of male and female, the two trees and choice, the nature and function of the serpent, deception and disobedience, man's response to sin, what are the curses? The first marriage, and why couldn't Adam stay in the garden? A lot of that's covered in chapter 3. But again, the Ruach HaKodesh just put on my heart to focus on the first mention of the word seed and how it works, both physically, but most important, spiritually as well. Genesis 1, 11 and 12. Then God said, let the land sprout grass, green plants yielding seed, fruit trees making fruit, each according to its species with seed in it upon the land. And it happened so. The land brought forth grass, green plants yielding seed, each according to its species, and trees making fruit with the seed in it, each according to its species. And God saw that it was good. So here's the first mention of seed and reproduction, so that these, again, so fruit will continually be yielded, the plants and food, everything that man needs. And this is the first mention of that word seed. Again, the word is zerah in the Hebrew, zazadik, resh, and ayin, a masculine noun meaning sowing, seed, descendants, offspring, children, and posterity. The literal use of the word indicates seed of the field, i.e. seed planted in the field. When Israel entered Egypt, Joseph instructed the Israelites to keep four-fifths of the crop as seed to plant in their fields and to serve as food for them. Genesis 47:24, during the harvest, you must give a fifth part to Pharaoh, and four-fifths will be for you, for seed for the field and for your food, for those in your houses, and food for your little ones. Again, this was in preparation for the famine that God revealed to Joseph would come. So God gave him wisdom on how they were to prepare for this by putting seed aside so they'd have food to eat. Genesis 18:22, and successful abundant harvests were promised right up until the sowing season if Israel followed the Lord's laws and commands. Genesis 8:22, while all the days of the land remain, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will not cease. In other words, that seed will perpetuate. Leviticus 26:5, God created the seed of the field by decreeing that plants and trees would be self-perpetuating, producing their own seed. Leviticus 26:5, your threshing will last until grape gathering. The grape gathering will last until the sowing time. You will eat bread to the full and live securely in your land, making fruit, each according to its species, with seed in it upon the land, and it happened so. Also, the word zerah, seed, God had created the seed of the field by decreeing that plants and trees would be self-perpetuating, producing their own seed. Genesis 1:11, then God said, let the land sprout grass, green planting yield seed, fruit trees making fruit, each according to its species with seed in it upon the land, and it happened so. Manna, the heavenly food, resembled coriander seed, Exodus 16:31. The house of Israel named it manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Also, zerah can be translated as son. Seed is when God gives Hannah a promised son. 1 Samuel 1:11. So she made a vow, and Adonai Zevaot, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your handmaid, remember me and not forget your handmaid, but grant your handmaid a son, or again, a perpetuation of seed, then I will give him to Adonai all the days of his life, and no razor will ever touch his head. So she dedicated her son, this promise that God gave her, this seed, to serve God all his life. And that was the prophet Samuel. And then in chapter 3, we'll look at the seed of a woman, which is her offspring. And I will put animosity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He will crush your head and you will crush his heel. Again, we'll look at more detail in that when we get to Genesis 3. Seed in the word. Again, Israel was very much an agricultural society. So God communicated to them and showed them things using agricultural terms. And Yeshua does as well in his teachings. We see that the word seed is mentioned 140 times in the word. Harvest is mentioned 70. Sowing mentioned 8. Sow mentioned 38. Reaping mentioned 3. And reap mentioned 28. Again, all are agricultural terms. And you're going to see, we're going to look at the teachings of Yeshua, how he used these terms in his parable to bring forth spiritual truth. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretenses or professions, or by his precepts being set aside. This is the Amplified. He who inevitably deludes himself, who attempts to delude God, for whatever a man sows, that and only is what he will reap. For he who sows to his own flesh, the lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not do heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we will reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. So here again, you see the spiritual principle of sowing and reaping. You know, what you sow negative, you're going to reap negative. What you sow according to the word, you're going to receive from the word. Here again, an illustration of planting seed. Again, the Hebrew word zarah. Again, for anything to grow, I mean, a seed is going to stay a seed until it's planted. Now, Minister Scott, he has a green thumb. I don't. So he can see, look at something and say, hey, you know, I know I can grow this. For an example, and I was going to bring the cactus in here to show you, but one of our neighbors gave him a little, it was just a little piece of a cactus. Now, I would have looked at it and said, what are you going to do with that? You know, but he looked at it and he saw the potential. He saw that, hey, you know what, I'm going to see if I can get, you know, a cactus will grow out of this. So he put it in water. He let it root. When the roots got big enough, he planted it in. You want to bring it in here for me so I can show him? Oh, you did. Good. Okay. I want to just use this for an illustration. See if you could see it. I don't know if you can see it. Okay. All right. Can you see that? Okay. So this was just a little stump about 3 inches. So again, he planted it in the soil about 2 inches. So he planted in the soil and, you know, he was excited. Yeah, I know. I said that, dear. Oh. That he rooted it first, planted it in the soil. Now, this didn't happen overnight. This was over a period, what, about a year?
About a year and a half.
Okay. And now it just keeps on growing. It keeps on sprouting. But he saw the potential in it. Just the same way the Father sees the potential in us. You know, maybe the world looks at us like, you know, well, you know, who are you? What do you think you can do? But God sees the potential. He sees that we can grow as we serve him, as we plant the seeds of the word in our hearts, as we walk in faith, they take root and we become that tree. We become that useful, again, that was once a seed into something useful that will be a blessing to people. All of God's purpose, desire, will, essence, prophecy, and design are found embedded in the natural things of creation in the beginning. So again, it all goes back to the very beginning. That's why it's so important. You know, again, sometimes we just gloss over these first parts of Genesis when they are really the foundation. And that's why we're digging deep, getting the understanding of the Hebrew words, the root, what the physical, what is God telling us through the creation as us, as his people, his creations. Again, we see in Yeshua's prophetic parables and Paul's letters, the use again of these agricultural words, sowing and reaping, harvest, vineyards, wheat, tares, gathering, natural branches, wild branches, fruit, seeds, soils, thorns, roots, trees, vines, husbandmen, fields, leaves, grafting. Again, all agricultural terms, and Yeshua uses these in his parables to teach us a spiritual truth. And Paul also uses it in his letters to bring forth spiritual truth. And we're going to be looking at some of those scriptures. The language and culture of scripture is born from natural observable facts, the creation. Ivrim or Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We see that archaeology is the study of Bereshit or beginnings. And we see that archaeology is constantly digging up proof that God's word is true, that these places that were spoken of in the word that they thought didn't exist really did exist. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, again, going back, remizzing back to the beginning, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. So even in creation, God is sending a message of his salvation. Luke 8:11, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So now bringing out the spiritual, that is our spiritual seed, the word of God. Yochanan, John 1, 12 to 13. But as many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Again, we were born again via the spiritual, again, word of Yahweh Elohim. Matthew 15:13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Matthew 13, 40 to 41. Now I want to go to the whole parable here. So I'm going to pull up the scriptures here and then we'll come back. But I want to look at, pull up the scriptures. Okay, we're going to look at, okay, we're here. Matthew 13, I'm going to beginning with verse 1 so we get the whole context of it. Actually, he has two parables in here regarding sowing and seed. On that day, Yeshua left the house. He was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered around him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the shore. And he told them many things in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to spread some seed. So now here he's giving a spiritual truth from, again, a natural truth. Again, the seed that God created in the natural, bringing a spiritual truth out. As he was scattering the seed, some seeds fell by the road and birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, but they didn't have much soil. They sprang up immediately because the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, they were scorched, and because they had no roots, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew and choked them. But others fell on good soil and were producing fruit. They yielded a crop, some 100-fold, 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. I'm going to go down to begin with verse 18. You then hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown, that's the seed of scripture in his heart. This is the one who, having been sown along the road, the one sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root himself, but lasts only a short while. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, immediately he falls away. But the one sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, and the worries of the world and the seduction of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now the one sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands. He indeed bears fruit, yielding 100-fold, some 60, some 30 times what he has sown. Again, the parable of the weeds. He presented to them another parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while the man was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. Now when the stalk sprouted and produced grain, then the weeds also appeared. So the slaves of the landowner came and said to him, Master, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Then where did the weeds come from? But he replied, the enemy did this. Now the slaves say to him, do you want us then to go out and gather them up? But he says, no, for while you are gathering up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. At harvest time, I will tell the reapers, first gather up the weeds, tie them in bundles and burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then 40 to, let's see. I'll be in verse 36. And he sent the crowds away and went to the house. His disciples or Talmudim came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, the one sowing the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. and the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the weeds are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil, or Ha-Satan. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Therefore, just as the weeds were gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who practice lawlessness. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, and the place will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So again, we see the comparison, again, the spiritual comparison of, again, when we sow the word in people's lives, how they receive it is going to be dependent on their heart. That's why, again, discipleship is so important. That because why the enemy comes immediately to steal the word that was sown. Back to Bereshit, Genesis 1. Again, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding fruit after his kind. Everything that God created was to produce after his kind. Whose seed is in himself upon the earth, and it was so. You know, I was thinking today too how science is trying so hard to manipulate nature to create things that are unnatural, that aren't from the earth as God created, to even try to play God with creating this AI system, you know, trying to clone superhumans. Again, this is things going out. It's, you know, you can read articles on it and, you know, on the internet. Again, it's Ha-Satan, you know, who is a counterfeiter. That's the only thing he can do is counterfeit. He is not a creator. He can only counterfeit what God has already created. But we see, again, the evil trying to manipulate God's original plan. But you know what? It always fails. Genesis 1:22, and God blessed them, saying, now this is command to the man, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in this. I'm sorry, this is what he's speaking to the animals. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. So again, he gives them the ability with the words of his mouth. He commanded, gave them the ability, gave them everything they needed within them to multiply according to their kind. Bereshit 1:28, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Now, this was his command to man. Bereshit 5:1-3. This is the book of the generations of Adam in that day that God created man. In the likeness of God, made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his own image and called his name Seth. So before the fall, again, which we'll get in more detail in chapter 3, man and Adam and Hava were created without sin. They were in perfect fellowship with the Father. They had an intimate relationship with him. They were created in his image. But after the fall, the children that would be begotten, would be birthed, would be created with that sin nature in them. That's why it says created in Adam's image and likeness. Again, talking about the seed that God put in, you know, in every fruit, every vegetable, every tree, you know, every human to be able to produce that their self, their fruit. Apples, an apple tree produces an apple tree, an orange tree produces an orange tree, etc. Natural and spiritual laws. Seeds are used to express what initiates and reproduces all living things. All living things are made up of cells and products of those cells. Like kind produces like kind. New cells come from other living cells. The seed is in the fruit. All cells carry their own life functions. This is taken from a high school biology textbook under the three aspects of a living cell. So again, each cell has its own map within it, its own recipe to produce, again, itself. To me, that's just amazing. I mean, so many things that we take for, you know, for granted. When you're studying the detail, I mean, it should just put us in awe of our Creator. No man can duplicate what God has already done. Matthew 13, 1 to 3. The same day went Yeshua out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him. So they went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Again, reason being, because sound carries over water, so it was like a natural microphone so people could hear him. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Again, we just read that in Matthew 13. Again, bringing in the natural from the natural into the spiritual. Luke 8:11. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of Yahweh Elohim. That is our spiritual seed. That is why we pray the word. We speak forth the word. We stand on the word, knowing that God is watching over his word. It's spiritual seed. And just like natural seed, when you throw that seed into the ground, you plant it, you water it into good ground. It grows, again, in its time as the sun shines on it, as it's getting watered. Again, our prayers are answered in his time. It's his timing. You know, we don't, you know, plant a seed and then dig it out and see, oh, have you grown yet? No, we leave it in the soil to grow. It's the same thing with our faith. Whatever we are believing God for, whether it's ministry for our house, for the salvation of our loved ones, for what he has called us to do, our seed is the word. And as we're planting that word, that seed into our hearts, our faith is growing, our trust is growing, and we are learning to stand, and we are growing up spiritually as we water that seed with prayer, with intercession, with faithfulness, with obedience, with study in his word. We will become that full tree, that full plant, that full the fullness of all that he has for us in our lives if we continue on and don't lose heart. Mark 4:13 to 14. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? Again, the sower soweth the word. So just look at Mark 4:13 and 14. Here he explains the purpose of parables. And again, here, again, talking about the parable of the word and the different types of ground that it falls on. Again, when we sow the word, when we sow the seed of the word into people and we're sharing the word with them, a lot of times it depends on the kind of ground that their heart is. You know, is their heart ready to receive the word? Are they seeking the word? Are they so hungry that they accept it wholly and commit their whole life to that word? You know, sometimes it takes time for that through prayer for the ground of that heart to become tender towards the Father and to receive the word of God. That's why Yeshua is bringing up this parable. So now he's explaining to the disciples the meaning of it. When Yeshua was alone, those around him with the 12 started asking him about the parables. He told them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, everything is in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, so they may not turn back and be forgiven. And he said to them, don't you grasp this parable? And how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones beside the road where the word is sown. Whenever they hear, Satan or HaSatan comes quickly and takes away the word that has been sown in them. These are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, immediately they fall away, and others are ones sown among the thorns. They have heard the word, But the worries of the world, the seduction of wealth, and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word, accept it, and produce fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. So again, going back to the importance of discipleship and teaching and training, so that that word that is sown stays strong, so they know how to stand against HaSatan, who again comes and tries to steal the word. He does it with us all the time as believers. He tries to get us off the word with discouragement, with disappointments, with people disappointing us, people saying they are with us and then they're against us, you know, financial issues. Again, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You know, the enemy is a liar. God's word is truth. And we have to make the choice. Who are we going to believe? God's word or the lies of the enemy? We need to stand on God's word. Yes, we're going to become discouraged. David himself was at times discouraged. You could read in his Psalms, but he always ended up giving praise to Yahweh, giving praise, putting his faith in him, knowing that even he was going through all these tests and trials, his own kids trying to kill him, you know, King Saul trying to kill him, you know, people turning against him. He kept his eyes on Yahweh because he knew his call. He knew he was called to be the king. He knew he was anointed, but it was in God's timing. And he refused to take that situation in his own hand. Even when he had the opportunity to kill Saul, he didn't, because he knew he was still God's anointed and that God would take care of it in his own timing. So yes, we're going to go through tests and trials. But again, we have to stand on the word. The word is our seed that is going to produce fruit in our life. And God is looking for fruit in our life as believers. Let me just get back to the PowerPoint. Again, back to Bereshit. Again, every seed producing after its kind, whose seed is in itself. Every apple has apple seeds. Every orange has orange seeds. You know, avocados have a big seed that can grow other avocados and another avocado tree. They produce after their own kind. Again, you see mankind manipulating where you have like seedless watermelon. Well, how is that watermelon going to reproduce without seed? Again, man manipulating nature for profit. Basically, that's what it is. Nature for profit and greed. Again, the prophetic word in 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Again, here we see the warfare that would go between man and HaSatan. Again, his seed, those who follow him, and the seed of woman, those who follow Yahweh, eventually would be a manifestation of Yeshua himself, who would defeat HaSatan. But again, more details to come. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Messiah. So again, it was through the promised seed of through Abraham that Israel was born. Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, the 12 tribes of Israel. The main tribe becoming Judah, through which Messiah would come, who was the seed, the anointed one to come. Romans 9:7. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So what is he saying? Referring back to Ishmael. Ishmael, yes, was a seed of Abraham. He was his son, but he was not the promised seed. He was a work of the flesh. Because Sarah, you know, insisted that he have a child with Hagar because they were, you know, they were kind of looking, thinking that that's the way the seed would come. But that's not what God said. Isaac would be the promised seed. It's through Isaac that the anointing and the calling would be. Romans 9:8, that is, they who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. Again, the difference between the seed that is called by Yahweh Elohim and the seed that hasn't been called or isn't walking with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Galatians 3:29. And if you be Messiahs, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. So we are spiritual seeds of Abraham. And you know, every believer goes back to him, to Abraham, as his, we call Abraham our father. Through Abraham, again, came through Israel. So we are, whether we're born natural Jews or from the nation, in Messiah, we are considered Abraham's seed according to the promise. So we can take hold of those promises given to him in Messiah. Yochanan 1:12. But as many as received Labano or Lakak, received him, to them gave him power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. So again, receiving him by faith, again, we are born again by that spiritual seed of Yahweh Elohim. If any man be a Messiah, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all have become new. And that is only possible through faith in Messiah Yeshua and through the working of the Ruach HaKodesh, that spiritual seed within us, making us sons and daughters of Yahweh Elohim and Messiah Yeshua. The fruit of Messiah. The Messiah is the seed and the Torah is the fruit. So let's look at Galatians 5. Beginning with verse 16. But I say, walk by the Ruach, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Ruach, but the Ruach sets its desire against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you cannot do what you want. So again, as born-again believers, we have the spirit of Yahweh Elohim in him, in us, but we're still living in a flesh that has not been redeemed. We still have that sinful nature, but we have authority over that. So that the sinful nature tries to get us to walk in the flesh instead of the word, but the Ruach within us is never going to be in agreement with us. Again, there's a warring, there's a tugging and pulling over the spirit versus the flesh. Our spirit is to dominate the desires of our flesh. And that's what he's speaking about here, a spiritual warfare. Verse 3, but if you are led by the Ruach, you are not under law. What is that? The law of sin and death, the law of condemnation. It's not saying you're no longer God's teachings and instructions, Torah. We're no longer under the laws of sin and death, the law of the flesh trying to rule us. Now, the deeds of the flesh are clear: sexual immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, witchcraft, hostility, strife, jealousy, rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, just as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit God's kingdom. Again, these all fall under the curse of the law. So we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, which means, again, our hearts no longer have that desire to follow after these type of actions. And when they try to raise their head in our life, we take authority. We pray, Father, I thank you that I am not going to go stay in strife. I'm going to walk according, again, to the fruit of the Ruach. I'm not going to have selfish ambition or let my temper, let me, you know, have rage in my life or do any of these things that the enemy is constantly. I mean, these things of the flesh, I mean, it is so blatantly being shoved in people's face today, again, on the internet, on TV. But we have the choice to turn it off and not allow it to come into our life. But the fruit, again, here we see fruit. This is what the fruit that the Ruach produces in the life of a believer is: love, joy, peace, shalom. Joy is simcha. Love is ahava. Peace is shalom. Patience, kindness, hesed, goodness, hava, faithfulness, imuna. gentleness and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Against such things, there's no condemnation when you're walking in the fruits of the Spirit. Because why? We are walking in agreement with the Torah of Yahweh Elohim, because that Torah has been placed within our heart. That's why if we walk by the Spirit, the Ruach will always guard, lead us away from things that are contrary to God's law, his Torah. Now, those who belong to Messiah have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So here we see this is something we have to do. If we live by the Ruach, let us also walk by the Ruach. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. Yochanan 1:13, again referring to who were born, not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Again, speaking of believers. So let's go, I want to look that back at that in context. Yochanan 1. Again, in the beginning was the word, Breshit, the very beginning. The word was with God. The word was God. And he was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him. And apart from him, nothing was made that has come into being. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overpowered it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John or Yochanan. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that through him, everyone might believe. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness concerning the light, which is Yeshua. The true light, Yeshua, coming into the world, gives light to every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. Again, here's giving you the revelation of Yeshua being there at the time, you know, of creation, before creation, being a part of creating the world. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But whoever did receive him, those trusting in his name, to these he gave the right to become children of God. They were not born of a bloodline, nor of human desire, nor of man's will, but of God. So again, not born from, again, the natural seed, but born of spiritual seed. And the word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And we looked upon his glory, the glory of the one and the only from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see so many times where the apostolic scriptures or New Testament refers back to the beginning and refers back to Torah. Yada. Yada is a term that means to, it's an intimate term of relationship. Again, the tree of life is that tree that gives that, again, that intimate relationship with the Father. If Adam had not sinned, they would have been able to eat from that tree. But because they sinned, they were not allowed. And it's also a tree of eternal life, Messiah Yeshua. Yada is a verb meaning to know, to learn, to perceive, to discern, to experience, to confess, to consider, to know people relationally, to know how, to be skillful, to be made known, to make oneself known, and to make known. Yochanan 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee. Again, this is a deep, intimate relationship with the Father, the only true God, and Yeshua the Messiah, whom thou hast sent. The only way to a close, intimate relationship with the Father is through Messiah Yeshua, to become born again. Then you enter into that relationship. That wall of sin and separation has been broken down in Messiah Yeshua, and we can enter in as his children, as his beloved, and have a close relationship and know him, and him always knowing us. Matthew 7:23. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. This is Yeshua's rebuke on the day of judgment. Those who said, well, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? But he's telling them, you never had an intimate relationship with me. You were just using my name for yourself. You, I don't know you because you never came into a relationship through faith in me, which is what he is talking about on that day of judgment. The seed comes first, then the fruit. There has to be a seed planted to produce fruit. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift from God, and not of good works, lest any man should boast. In other words, you can't earn your salvation. It's strictly by faith in what Yeshua has done for you. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua unto good works, that God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Going back again to the garden, his original plan and purpose for mankind to walk, being his creation, walking and doing the works of Messiah, producing fruit in our lives, glorifying God, bringing that message of salvation, living a life that produces good fruit and produces glory for his kingdom. And that comes through a walk of obedience. That comes through a walk of faithfulness and commitment to him. Yochanan 8, 37 to 39. Again, this was Yeshua, some of the religious leaders, and this was a certain group of leaders. This was not every Jewish person. This was a certain group of leaders who didn't believe that he was a Messiah, and they were standing on their own natural birth, natural lineage. And this is what Yeshua is telling them. I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. So here, their hearts were hardened so that word, that seed, could not take root in their hearts. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Yeshua said unto them, if you are Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So again, what are those works? Believing God. If they knew the word, if they really believed what the word said, again, all through the Torah, as the Messiah is revealed, they would have seen that Messiah, Yeshua, was the Messiah. But again, this was just a certain group of leaders. Their hearts was hardened because they were lifted up in pride in their own position and who they were. But there were others, in Book of Acts, it says that other priests and scribes came to faith in Messiah as well. We see the first congregation of Messiah was all Jewish. Why? Because they had hearts to receive the word, Yeshua, the living word. They had hearts to receive it. So they received, again, on good ground, that understanding of who he was and the understanding of the scriptures, that he is the one that the Father pointed to all along. Again, two different grounds, two different hearts. Bereshit 15:6. This is speaking of Abraham, and he believed in Yahweh, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Again, Abraham was a man of faith. He was a man who believed God before he saw what God promised him. God is in search of man or of men and women to serve him. Who will obey? Bereshit 26, 4 to 5. Again, this is his promise to Abraham. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Again, prophesying down to the time of Messiah, who was the seed through the tribe of Judah, that blessed seed of Messiah. God showed Abraham, this is, again, a picture of Messiah to come. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So this blessing of Abraham came upon him because of obedience. The blessings come because of obedience. We need to be obedient sons and daughters of Yahweh Elohim, and give our, again, our whole life belongs to him, especially in the days we are living in. We are seeing prophecy coming to pass, you know, quicker and quicker. And we need to use every opportunity we can to share the word with others, to spread the word, you know, however we can, with whatever gifts and abilities we have to do it, whether it's through books or through the internet or through, again, social media. Use it for the good, for the gospel, because the enemy's sure using it for wicked purposes. But we need to use every opportunity we have while we can. And B, again, Yeshua is our example of one who totally submitted to the Father's word. Yahweh reveals the seed through the fruit. You know, Yeshua said, you will know them by their fruit. You will know who is a true believer by the type of fruit they are producing. Proverbs, Mizmor is Proverbs chapter 1, 1 to 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the Torah of Yahweh, and in his Torah doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And this is actually the prayer that's prayed over the man and the sons in the household, but it applies to all of us as well. Again, we are to walk in godly counsel. We are to walk in the path of righteousness. And when we do, we are to delight in his Torah, his teachings and instructions. We are to delight in his word from Genesis to Revelation, from Bereshit to Hikgalut. Hikgalut is a Hebrew for revelation. We are to walk in obedience, meditate on that word. The word be the one that controls us. And he said he would plant us like a tree by rivers of water. We will be continually be watered by the water of the Ruach HaKodesh, the water of the word, that we won't shrivel up and wither, but we will continue to grow and to prosper and to bring forth fruit again for his kingdom and his glory. Mishlei 131, which is chapter 131 in Psalms. Therefore, now this is the negative side, there shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. This is speaking of the wicked man. We see that in Galatians. Again, just as you can produce godly fruit, there are those out there that are going to, the rotten fruit that they've sown, they're going to eat of that rotten fruit. Isaiah 32:19. That's Jeremiah. Jeremiah, who is Jeremiah? Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of man, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So again, there's that law of sowing and reaping. Whatever seed we sow, that's what we're going to reap. And as us believers, we want to sow, again, seeds of righteousness, seeds that produce godly fruit in our lives. Romans 6:22, but now being made free from sin and becoming servants of God, you have your fruit under holiness and the end everlasting life. So again, you see these, you know, fruit and seed is continually coming up in the word of God, especially in Yeshua's teachings and in Paul's teachings and examples. Matthew 7:17-18, Matthew. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth bad fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So here he says that, he goes on to say that we will know a person whether they are truly from God by their fruit. Again, it's a way, you know, because the enemy could appear, you know, as an angel of light, appear, you know, like, you know, people can come into your life and they seem like they love God. They seem like that, you know, that they're part of the sheep, but they're actually sheep, you know, wolves in sheep's clothing. And eventually that fruit will expose them. The World Book Encyclopedia, seeds are the most important part of the plant. The roots, the leaves, the flowers, the fruit all exist so that there can be seed. If the seeds fall straight to the ground beneath the plant that bore them, they would be too crowded to thrive. The seeds must be scattered or dispersed. Again, we saw that in Yeshua's parable, that the sower sowed the word. He was scattering the seed, and the seed was falling on different types of ground. It wasn't stagnant. Most seeds are scattered by the wind. I mean, we see that during the summer when we have all those fluffy little dandelion seeds being spread all over the place. Ephesians 4:3-6, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Yahweh or one Yahweh Elohim, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Again, there is only one way, one Torah, one way to walk. There aren't many different paths. Again, that's the, you know, the mode of operation of the enemy. Oh, there's many paths. There's many ways. There's many gods you can serve. No, there's not. There's only one God, one faith, one baptism, one Father who is the Father of all, one Messiah, and that is Yeshua. Yeshua's commission to end this. Matthew 6:14-20. Therefore, go and make people from all nations into Talmudim, disciples, immersing them into the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh. Again, immersing them in the word, immersing them in the knowledge and the truth. Again, water baptism, again, is a picture of us being having died and being risen to life in Messiah Yeshua. But we are also to be immersed in the knowledge of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh, and that comes from studying the word. That comes from teaching and training people. This is Yeshua's commission to us to spread the seed of the word through the word. Mark 28:16-20. Mark, 15 and 16. That's the whole scripture. I'm just pulling out these two. Then he said to them, as you go throughout the world, proclaim the good news to all creation. Again, as we are proclaiming, we are spreading spiritual seed. We are sowing spiritual seed. And the result is whoever trusts and is immersed will be saved. Whoever does not trust will be condemned. So again, when we, you know, the result is up to the Father. As we sow seed, again, that person makes the choice. The word always hits its target. The word, when you speak the word, it is always bringing conviction to the person that you're sharing it with, speaking to their hearts. But then they make the choice whether they're going to believe it or not, depending on the ground that they're at. I mean, eventually down the road, they may come to that point. But again, only the Father knows that. Our job is to continually to sow the word, pray over the word, water it, pray. Hallelujah. Elvina McCain, our Father, our King, Father, we thank you for that precious seed of the word that you have given us. We thank you for that precious seed of salvation, of creation, to meet all our needs, Father, according to your riches and glory. Father, I thank you that we continually have ears to hear and eyes to receive, eyes to see and hearts to receive, that our hearts are good ground, that our hearts continue to stay soft and tender towards your word, Father, that we commit to walk in the Ruach, the Spirit of Yahweh Elohim, to produce the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, to produce the fruit of Messiah in our lives, so that when people see us, they see the light of Messiah Yeshua, and that they want that same relationship that we have through you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, let me just stop the recording here.